I'm going to read some out of 3 Nephi, the second chapter. I'll start with verse 103. I have reason to bless my God and my Savior, Jesus Christ, that He brought our fathers out of the land of Jerusalem. And no one knew it, save it were himself and those whom he brought out of the land. And that he hath given me and my people so much knowledge unto the salvation of our souls. Now, when this was written, and I'm not sure but what it was Nephi that was writing it, he tells us how Christ had give them so much knowledge toward the salvation of their souls. Now that's what we have in these two books. If we don't mess it up with something else, it'll lead us, like it said about the compass that was created by Christ, and it was laid in the front yard of Lehi when he got up in the morning. I said if they followed that compass, it would lead them in a straight path to the promised land. And if we take these scriptures here and obey them, it'll take us on a straight course to that desired land above that we all have, shall I say, thoughts or wishes that we'll be there. And we can do it by the help of Christ if we will study and prove all things and hold fast that which is good. We all know that there is misleadings in this old world, and we have to study to know when those things that are misleading are put before us, and, shall I say, cancel them out. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. I'm not going to read that tonight, but I'm telling you. Surely he hath blessed the house of Jacob, and hath been merciful unto the seed of Joseph. Showing here who they was, of the house of Jacob. Can't say the word I want now, but of the lineage of Joseph. And inasmuch as the children of Lehi have kept his commandments, he has blessed them and prospered them according to his word. Now, have we kept his commandments enough for him to promise us according to his word? I believe as we used to read over in Malachi, he would tell us how he would prosper us if we followed his words. And I mean all of his words, not just part of them. Yea, and surely shall he again bring a remnant of the seed of Joseph to the knowledge of the Lord their God. Showing here that he knew beforehand that they was going to drift away from God, which we know if we understand all of our history of our Indian and their forefathers, how they have drifted away from God. But it says here that he's going to bring them again to the knowledge of the Lord their God. And if we understood all of this, we would know that's something that's to come yet, to bring those of that lineage back to the knowledge of God again. Because a lot of them, as we know them today, are, you might say, far from following the Lord their God. And as surely as the Lord liveth, will he gather in from the four quarters of the earth all the remnant of the seed of Jacob, who are scattered abroad upon all the face of the earth. Now this is another thing that hasn't come to pass yet. If you understand, I don't think I've got it down here tonight, but if you understand the scriptures that we have in the two books telling you of the New Jerusalem that's going to be built here on this earth, these people here, when they are again brought to the knowledge of God, and as many of the Gentile and the Jew and so forth as will come in and assist them, will build that New Jerusalem. And it tells us then, those that come in will go out and assist his people to gather in his people from the four corners of the earth. I don't have it written down here, but I can find it if you want it. And as he hath covenant with all the house of Jacob, even so shall the covenant wherewith he hath covenanted with the house of Jacob be fulfilled in his own due time, unto the restoring all the house of Jacob unto the knowledge of the covenant that he hath covenanted with them. Showing here, now maybe a lot of them, they don't realize that he has covenanted with them. But when they come to a knowledge of his gospel and his covenant, then they'll understand what I'm reading tonight. This ain't all I'm going to read, but then there's some of it. And then shall they know their Redeemer, who is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then shall they gather in from the four quarters of the earth and to their own lands, from whence they have been dispersed, yea, as the Lord liveth, so shall it be. I think that's pretty definite, that as the Lord liveth, so shall it be. And his sayings are things that we should listen to and govern our lives by. He has told us in one place, and I believe it's over there where he's talking of the prophet Isaiah and his prophecies. And Christ himself speaking told us that those prophecies that hadn't been fulfilled would be. When he says that, we know, or should know anyway, that they're going to come to pass, regardless of what man says. Some that I have just told you about being gathered in from the four quarters of the earth. You can mark down on your book. I'm not going to turn to it and read it because I don't think it's necessary. I've told you some of it. You'll find it in 3 Nephi, the 9th chapter, verse 106. Then the 10th chapter, 1 to 8. And then you can go back to the 9th chapter again and read verses 58, 59, and 60. And it'll tell you just exactly what I have just told you about what's going to come to pass about the New Jerusalem. And if we wanted to go farther, it tells us about the New Jerusalem over in the book of Ether. I'm going to turn back to the fourth chapter of 3 Nephi for a little bit. I could turn to that other that I've just told you about and read it, but I've got quite a few references here, and I don't know why I wrote down so many. but I'm going to have to try to maybe cull out a few of them. Third Nephi, the fourth chapter, I'm going to turn over to verse 49, and I'm going to read several verses. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood, yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. This is when he's telling them about being the law of Moses fulfilled. And any more after that, the sacrifice that he wants is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And you can look around and see in many places those that say they're following after God and going to be saved, and they don't have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Some of them are real, shall I say, heady, strong-headed, strong-minded, and try to tell them something by talking to a post. The post can't hear you, and they won't. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me, at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. I can tell you by my own experience that when I was baptized and hands laid on me to confirm me, I didn't know any more about the Holy Ghost than, if I say, the man in the moon. I didn't understand what it was all about. And for years I didn't know. Sometimes I think, well, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway. Sometimes I think that parents teaching their children don't teach them enough of what the gospel is before they teach them that they should be baptized. If we as people get to where we understand the scriptures and know what they stand for, and I don't think you should wait till you're my age either, but you should wait till I understand and then be baptized. Now that's my thoughts. Some of them say, well, I know when I was young, we was taught that at the age of 8 years old, we was accountable and we could be baptized. But we didn't know what it all stood for. And I think sometimes, like I said, we hurry the children into being baptized. Now, I don't think that I and the missus done that. Our kids was all taught quite a lot before they were baptized, but they was all baptized fairly young. But they was taught good beforehand, and that's what all children need. There's one place I was thinking of, and telling the parents about taking care of their children back in Mosiah. But I'm not going to turn to that tonight, and I'm not going to try to explain it all. But you can go hunt it up if you like to. I can't tell you exactly where it is, but I'm sure it's in Mosiah. Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for of such is the kingdom of God. Behold, for such I have laid down my life and have taken it up again. Therefore, repent and come unto me, the ends of the earth, and be saved. I can't enlarge on that any. I think it's as plain as the English language. That when we are old enough and know enough to repent and are baptized, we can be saved. And we can't be like some people believe, that when you repent and are baptized, you're saved. And there's nothing you can do that would keep you from going to heaven. But that is taught, but it's wrong. If we go over in Ezekiel, it'll tell us that those that repent, get away from their evil deeds, come unto Christ, and continue in righteousness will be saved. But if you turn from righteousness to unrighteousness and continue therein, it says your righteousness is not going to be remembered. And that goes for anybody, baptized or not. When they turn from righteousness to unrighteousness, their righteousness will not be remembered. Or vice versa. If they turn from unrighteousness to righteousness and continue therein, their unrighteousness will not be remembered. I'm going to turn the page and read a little more. I'm going to turn over and begin with 69. Now, so whoso readeth, let him understand. He that hath the scriptures, let him search them, and see, and behold, if all these deaths and destructions by fire and by smoke and by tempest and by whirlwinds and by the opening of the earth to receive them, and all those things are not unto the fulfilling of the prophecies of many of the holy prophets. Now, if you realize what I'm reading about, you're reading about the destruction of the time of Christ's death. And it was foretold, I guess most that we have the record of, is what was told by Samuel the Lamanite. Now it speaks of some others that told it, but I don't think we have it. Behold, I say unto you, yea, many have testified of these things at the coming of Christ, and were slain because they testified of these things. Yea, the prophet Zenos did testify of these things, and also Zenoch spake concerning these things, because they testified particularly concerning us, who are a remnant of their seed. Behold, our father Jacob also testified concerning a remnant of the seed of Joseph. And behold, are not we a remnant of the seed of Joseph? And these things which testify of us, are they not written upon the plates of brass, which our father Nephi brought out of Jerusalem? Showing here where they got some of their knowledge of this stuff. It's on the plates of brass, and they had it, but we don't. And it came to pass that in the ending of the 34th year, behold, I will show unto you that the people of Nephi, who were spared, and also those who had been called Lamanites, who had been spared, did have great favor shown unto them, and great blessings poured out upon their heads, insomuch that soon after the ascension of Christ into heaven, he did truly manifest himself unto them, showing his body unto them and ministering unto them. And an account of his ministry shall be given hereafter. Is it plain that these things happened? In his ministry, we have a record of that. And it tells us to search these scriptures. And Alma tells us, I believe that's over in the 10th chapter. I'm going to look and see if it ain't. If it is, I'll read it to you. Oh, it ain't Nephi. So we're back in Alma. I was looking over here in Nephi. Some of you probably know exactly where it is and what I'm going to read. The 10th chapter, the 17th verse. Behold, the scriptures are before you. If you arrest them, it shall be to your own destruction. That means if we twist them and try to read something out of them that's not in there, it'll be to our own destruction. You find the same thing over in the Bible, over in Peter. I can't tell you exactly where, but I could turn to it and find it in just a little bit if you want it. I'm going to read it. Well, shall I say, maybe a kind of a change of thought over here. And going to change books. Isaiah chapter 8. Just going to read one verse out of that right now. 20. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now you know, that can go a long ways, because there is different things that we can do, read, and convince ourselves of that are not the scriptures of Christ, that can cause a dark spot in our mind. Not all of it. Not all of our mind, understand, but a dark spot. And when you've got a dark spot in your mind, your light is not clear. It says here that if they don't speak according to the scriptures, because there's no light in them. But what I was trying to tell you is that we don't have to be totally darkened to have a dark spot in our mind. Maybe something that we believe that's not in these scriptures will cause that dark spot. I know. I ain't guessing about that apart at all. I'm going to go back to the Psalms for a little bit. about the 19th Psalm. I'm going to read verse 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Don't say that we've got to be extra minded or anything. It says, making wise the simple. If we would go over in the last end of Proverbs, I've read it to you a lot of times, and I haven't got it written down here. But in chapter 30 of Proverbs, verse 5 and 6 says, "The word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar." That's hard words. But if we add to his word, causes that dark spot that I was just talking to you about. So let's don't do it. I've got another one over here in Psalms that I was going to read to you. Just one verse. There must be a lot of little ones in here because I turn too many leaves all the time. I've got it marked that it should be in 119. And I'm going to read verse 142. It says, "The righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and the law is the truth." Now, if we was to go and turn into the fourth part of the Book of Mormon, it tells us that the writings of the apostles of the Lamb are true. And this here says, the law is the truth. They both go together. There's a lot of things in that old law, in the Old Testament, that tells us of things that we should do, as well as telling us of things that we should not do. And whatever is in there, in that shape, is the law to us. Now, all of those things that's in the Mosaic Law, the law of sacrifice, is done away. The law of the Ten Commandments. When we study our New Testament, there's only one law in there that isn't magnified, and it isn't even mentioned. And that's the law on the Sabbath day. It's not in the New Testament that I know of. If it's in there, I'd like to know about it. But it does tell us that after the resurrection of Christ, the Christians kept the first day of the week in honor of his resurrection. Where in the old law of Moses, it said to keep the Sabbath, the sixth, or the seventh day of the week. But the first day of the week is the day that he raised on them. And that's the reason they kept that. I'm going to turn over to Proverbs for another little reading. In the 13th chapter, I'm going to read 13 and 14. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. Showing here that if we keep his word, it'll take us and deliver us from the snares of death. Now that don't mean the physical death. That means spiritual death. And if we die a spiritual death, well, you all understand what it is. And it don't be so nice. Alma tells us that at death, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes tells us the same thing. But Alma goes farther and tells us that then the spirit of the righteous goes to a place of peace and rest called paradise. And the spirit of the unrighteous will be cast into outer darkness to await the judgment or the resurrection. I think it's the judgment it says. We know that all man is going to be raised from the dead. But the righteous is going to be raised at his second coming. And Revelation tells us that the rest of the dead raised not till 1,000 years is ended. So we should understand that the people are not all going to be resurrected at one time. There is a couple of references in there that tell what's going to happen to the righteous that are alive here on earth at his coming. They're going to be caught up in the air. It says to meet the others in the air. And they're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye from mortality to immortality. And it tells us over in the Book of Mormon that the three Nephites, you all know the story of the three Nephites that was left here on earth, the same as John the Revelator. And it says they, at that time of his coming, they'll be changed to immortals in a twinkling of an eye. When they was caught up, as the story tells us, there was a change in their bodies, but there'll be a greater change at the coming of Christ. I'm going to read you one out of Matthew. Chapter 7. Looks like I've got quite a little down there. beginning with verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, I believe that's the law that we've been talking about. The law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now you can take this and put it on a parallel that these trees are individuals. And those that bring forth good fruit are a good tree. And those that bring forth evil fruit are not. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, I could go into an example of that, that I have heard and seen some of the individuals that some of the works was worked on, and you couldn't tell them as a Church of Christ under no condition. The outfit that caused them to join them and be one of them is all that they knew. You couldn't tell them anything else. I had worked with them. I mean, I just labor worked with people. It was that way. It's a hard thing for some people to see just what I have just read. But when you know, like I know, having worked of just common labor with some that had been in that place under those conditions, you couldn't tell them anything but what they thought, what they had in their mind, and that was it, and that was all. I'm going to turn to Romans for a little bit here. The second chapter. I'm going to read 12 through 15. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearer of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which shew the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. Maybe you can understand that. I read 12 through 15, chapter 2 of Romans. It paid to go and read that and ask God to give you understanding of it. I think I understand it. Maybe I don't. But if you go and with the help of God study that, maybe you'll get a good understanding of what Paul is writing. Now I'm going to turn over to the 6th chapter of Romans, because there's something in there that I want to read to you tonight too. 6th chapter, I'm going to begin with verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether to sin and to death, or of obedience and of righteousness. Another scripture that we all need to study and understand what is written. Peter tells us that some of the scriptures written by Paul are hard to understand. But if they're hard for us to understand, there's one that we can go to that will help us to understand those scriptures, because they all have their meaning. Let's go over to Galatians. Five. Verses 14, 15, and 16. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, a lot of times the lust of the flesh is the desires of man. And it's like some that we see, pretty every week. They go by our place. They go by your place. Sometimes on Saturday, sometimes they'll go Friday night, and they don't come back till Saturday or Sunday night. Dragging a boat, going to the lake, and we, as a, just an expression, once in a while say, well, they're going to their church. Sports, desires. Just get out and have a big time. That's a lot of the desires of the flesh. And there's other things. So we have to sometimes kind of look and see